Hey guys, it's Taylor Gray, Ezra Bridger from Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to the Carbonite Crew Podcast. May the Force be with you, always. Spectre 6, out.
Hey kid, I'm putting together a crew.
Hey guys, and welcome to our second part of our post-celebration episode. God, I'm already excited for the next one.
I know, right?
And we're going to finish up talking about our weekend and what we did, what our thoughts were, and how much fun we had.
Yeah.
And how we can't wait to go back. But so in the previous episode, we talked some panels we went to, kind of went in depth on how those went, what we got out of those, and what we saw. And those were super fun. One panel I was unable to attend was the Season 2 Sneak Peek of Resistance panel, which Jonathan he made sure he attended it. He was
in my infinite wisdom and with the good graces of the Star Wars Celebration app, I was actually able to secure a Lightspeed lane pass to this panel.
And did they scan that?
Yes.
Okay.
They did.
Cool.
They were checking them, and we got there. Because what was going on Monday morning? There was something. We were waiting in line with you for Vader Immortal.
Yeah, so we waited in the VR line, and you guys went.
You made your
Resistance.
Own VR line. That
yeah, we made our own VR line. So was, and you went something. For Resistance, which was like we said before. It was cool. We split up and kind of got different views on stuff because we would not have both been able to do both of those things.
No, we would not
together. So. Why don't you go ahead and tell us about the Resistance panel? And I know you and I really haven't even talked about this, so there's a lot of stuff I don't even know.
Right, yeah. So I will just say beforehand, one thing I'm excited for upcoming celebrations is when they actually get their tech to work, it was extremely easy and cool to get into the panel. We reserved our Lightspeed reservations the day before for this panel. Me and my girlfriend both went to it. We got there about an hour early. We got some food and we started waiting in line, and they started letting people in about 40 minutes before the panel. So the way that it works is they let you into, basically you got a line in the hall, and then when the line for the line opens up, they let you into a big room where everyone lines up to be seated. So they let us in, and they were basically sorting people by just general admission versus people who had a Lightspeed pass like we did. So we were about probably not even 5 feet from the front of the line, which was incredible. Like I was standing in line just so excited because they let VIPs and they let ADA people in first, which I mean there wasn't a ton, maybe 30 or 40 of them between the two of them.
Yeah, not bad at all.
Yeah. And that was actually on the Galaxy stage, so it was the same room that we saw Rebels in.
Which was a gigantic room.
It's huge.
I could not, but this I just want to just say this convention center was a massive.
And it was a great place to have it because there was so much room for everything.
And it was only one side of the convention center.
So, yeah, so we waited in line, and they started letting people in maybe 20 minutes before the panel actually started, so... There was kind of this interesting little mad rush between... I mean, they were in the same kind of queues that we had for the rest of the things with the velvet ropes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you remember, those are not, like, single-person lines. Like, you can probably fit four people across. So once they let you in, it didn't matter how close you were to the front of the line. If people were faster than you, they got better seats.
Oh, I believe it.
So we were in a mad rush to get... We actually ended up in the left front section... And we were the first non-Jedi Master VIP or ADA seating.
That's
so
awesome.
I didn't need to look at any of the extra monitors at all. I was probably 10 feet from the stage.
Dude,
which
that,
was,
that's, and that's super cool. Because, I mean, you were excited about that panel to begin with. So the fact that
I
you
was.
Were that close is awesome.
Yeah. So they kind of... And I know we didn't talk a lot about this. I think I mentioned pre-show like games and trivia and when we were talking about the 9 panel. But they actually did this cool thing where they brought about 10 people up on stage. There were a bunch of cosplayers. There was an incredible Kazuto Ziono cosplayer.
Yeah, I actually I just saw him this morning.
He was fantastic. He was from Tokyo, so big props to that guy. But they played this game called Rock Paper Infinity, where you're basically it's rock paper scissors, but you make up your own action, and then the crowd votes. So there were some cute ones. They played that before the Rebels panel as well. I'm sure you remember it. So they played that for a while, and then they started bringing people out on stage. And I don't know if I showed you a picture, but they had so many seats, empty seats, sitting on that stage.
Yeah. I remember that. And
I was so excited.
That's how the Clone Wars one was, actually, as well.
Yeah.
Or no, Clone Wars, because then they brought out basically the whole cast towards the end.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I was actually really surprised when they brought out everyone all at once. So, and I can't find the host's name. He wasn't actually in the show. He did some sound design for the show.
Okay.
We found out about later. That was kind of funny. But so it was executive producer Justin Ridge, Athena Portillo, and Brandon Aumann. So Justin Ridge is the executive producer. He's basically like the showrunner. Athena Portillo, I don't remember what she does exactly, but she's also important. And Brandon Aumann was actually, I think, the lead writer. I'm pretty sure. So they brought those out, and then Christopher Sean, who plays Kazuda Ziono. They had Susie McGrath, who plays Tam. Let's see. They had Scott Lawrence, who plays Jarek Yeager. They had Myrna Vilsko. Is that how you say her last name?
I don't even ask
She plays Tora Doza. And then they had... let's see. Hold on. Who else? They had Bobby Moynihan was there. He plays Orca.
Okay. He seemed like he was super excited to be there.
Yes. He was probably, you know, as funny as it was that that Donald Faison was there, I think Bobby Moynihan was actually more hyped than Hype Faison for this panel. And Donald was the last person who was there. But he was just fanboying the entire time. It was incredible. So they brought everyone out, and a lot of it was just kind of a retrospective about season one. A lot talked about it was cool. Christopher Sean did a lot of talking about how, you know, he talked actually about his audition and how they kind of lay down, how do you balance that kind of seriousness of Kazuto, but also the comedy of the character, and how he was kind of picking up on what they wanted during the audition. And he remembers Dave Filoni and Justin Ridge were sitting there watching his audition, and he could see them nodding, and he's like, I think I got it. So
that's cool.
And they just kind of talked about, you don't really think about how long it takes to produce these shows, but this show has been a thing from its inception for 3 years.
Wow.
You know? Yeah. And they talked about how they had the first, Justin talked about how, you know, one day Dave Filoni called him into his office and he showed him all these concepts, and he's like, you know, this is an idea I'm throwing around. You've got this show set, you know, before The Force Awakens and what's happening directly before that, following sort of this group of, you know, these spies and these misfits and these racers. And, you know, Justin was like, yeah, this is really cool. And didn't really think anything of it. And, you know, a few days later, Dave Filoni goes, okay, here you go. Here's your show.
Wow. That's crazy.
And he said it really just felt like, you know, you just learned to drive and your dad hands you the keys to his Porsche. And it's like, don't ruin it. Don't wreck it. don't screw this up, you know. So it was cool to see some of those sort of behind the scenes insights.
That is super neat.
One thing that struck me, and I'm not going to talk about every little thing they said. One thing that really struck me was that every single character, every single voice actor on that panel was their character.
Yeah, which I noticed it. I caught just a little bit of it with like Myrna and stuff talking. I think that's how you pronounce her name. And like you could just tell, like her going back and forth with I think it was the guy that plays Yeager or something. And like you could tell, like that's just who they are. Like.
She is Tora Doza, like, in my mind. And even Justin said that. He said, you know, we were very deliberate. And even Dave Filoni was there for the casting. He oversaw the casting. And they were extremely deliberate in who they cast. And that those actors' characteristics even carried over. But it was just incredible. I mean, Christopher Sean is a little... I think he's a little handsomer than Kazuto, honestly. To be real, I mean, he's a very striking man. But yeah, and he was just, everyone is their character, and it was really cool to see all the banter. You really got the feeling that they were a family, and they talked about how, like, you know, they would go in and they would have group recordings where everyone would come in and do an episode together. And Myrna talked about how, you know, you would see, she would come in for a recording and she would see Bobby, or she would see you know, Donald Faison, and she'd say, okay, yeah, today's gonna be a good day. Today's gonna be a good day. These people are here, we're ready to go, you know. One of the interesting behind the scenes things, and someone asked Myrna, they were asking her about Tora and Captain Doza's relationship, and just, they said, how is Jason Hightower to work with? You know, how is it having your character's father there with you? And she shook her head. She goes, Jason Hightower is the class clown of this cast. She goes, he's the guy who is just constantly joking, and we're like, Jason, it's your line. You've got to be Captain Doza right now. You can't be joking around.
You would never guess that from watching the show.
You absolutely wouldn't, because he's just the stoic, commanding figure, you know. Let's see, what else? That was really cool. They talked a lot about Tam. They talked about some of Tam's past. And I don't know if you remember this, I'm a big Resistance fan, but they're in some of the earlier episodes, there's some tension between Hype Faison and Tam Revora. And I think Kaz even asked her at one point, like, well, what happened? And she goes, well, we were friends, but then he forgot who his friends were. It was interesting because they brought that up. Maybe there was a romance between Tam and Hype at one point.
Yep.
And that was semi-confirmed, actually, by the characters.
Okay.
And there was a nice little bit of back and forth banter between the, you know, Susie McGrath and Donald Faison for that. You know, because they asked both of them, well, what happened? And, you know, they ended up basically settling, you know, Hype had all these aspirations and he wanted to be the best racer, and he kind of forgot who his friends were.
Yeah, definitely. Once he did that. Which is what fame can do. I mean, I like to see those parallels, you know, with the
cartoon. And then, you know, Christopher Sean kind of made a remark about how, you know, well, Tam is one to talk about betraying her friends after all. So
yeah.
It was kind of cool to see Tam's, you know, Susie talk about sort of where Tam's at, having betrayed the group. Team Fireball, in a way, and, you know, what it looks like is she's joining the First Order.
Which is a very confusing time, as I can imagine, with everything happening, like, so fast. Because, I mean, watching those last few episodes, a lot went down really quick.
Oh, yeah. Well, and one of the things she talked about is, like, you have to really put yourself in Tam's shoes, where, you know, it's a time of relative peace in the galaxy. Like, you know, this is before The Force Awakens. The First Order hasn't fully risen to prominence like we see in the sequel movies. You know, the New Republic's established. Yeah, there's stuff going on. There's pirate attacks and stuff. But it's a largely peaceful time. So, I mean, and you got to think Tam was raised with good stories about the Imperials. Her father worked for the Imperial military. Or grandfather. He was an Imperial. You know, so she has nothing but good opinions of the First Order and of the Empire. So, I mean, and then you look at, you know, from her point of view, the First Order is just providing security for the station. They're preventing these pirate attacks. And then you turn around and you have her best friends being, you know, her new best friend, Kazuda, and basically her father figure, Yeager, being Resistance spies.
Yeah,
that's,
well, she was told they were, and then you find out in these moments of chaos that they are.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, who do you believe? I mean, it's it would be a very tough situation. But I don't know if there was anything else you want to touch on, but I do know that they showed the first episode of the new season.
Yes, and the way that they did it was incredible, because, you know, we were getting down to like the last half an hour, and The host had told us initially he was going to try and milk him for some information, which I thought was going to be really interesting, because Dave Filoni actually wasn't on this panel. He wasn't there.
No Filoni snipers.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
as
I'm
James
sure
Earl Taylor would say.
I mean, I'm pretty sure there probably were Filoni snipers, and I'm pretty sure it would have just been Dave Filoni himself.
Oh, I'm sure. Because no one's allowed in that trust tree.
Right, right, it's just right. Him. But, so the host started asking, and his first question was, so do we see more of Tam in season two? Like, do we know what's going on with her or where she's at? And Justin was like, do you guys really want to know about that? That's kind of, I don't know, spoilery. And the whole crowd is cheering, of course.
Right.
And he goes, well, I mean, there's so much to talk about with Tam. I think it would just be better if we showed you the whole first episode of season two.
Oh, that's awesome.
And the whole crowd just erupts in applause. I was actually talking to this guy next to me who is from California, and he is a huge Resistance fan. I mean, I was getting hype even more than mine from him the entire time. You could just feel it. But so, yeah, I saw the whole first episode of season two, and it's incredible. One little side note is people were actually watching it on the live stream or on the stage. They did cut the stream off.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of people were upset by that.
Yeah, that was... I mean, I understand that they did that a few years ago when they showed... I think they showed two Rebels episodes on the Rebels panel, and they did not live stream those, which...
It makes sense, though.
It's kind of understandable.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because you put in the effort and the work to get to that panel, I mean...
I pressed a few buttons and showed up an hour before time, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You were ready to go.
Yeah. So... let's talk about the episode. And it's really cool. And I think you and I both agree that, you know, Resistance started off very slow. Mm-hmm. Very much, yeah. So, like Rebels did. It was a little childish, but it had its moments, especially going towards the end.
Definitely.
So just a little preface for anyone who hasn't finished Resistance. A, stop listening right now. Go finish the show. B, at the end of season one, we find out that the Colossus is not a station. It's actually a spaceship.
Correct.
So it's a big old space yacht.
Yep.
And the Team Fireball ends up successfully getting the First Order off the station and then activating the hyperdrive and jumping away towards Dakar, which is the planet the Resistance is on.
Or so they thought.
Or so they thought. And it turns out that Niku didn't. What was it? Did he not fully put in the coordinates?
He put in them. He either, I don't remember if he put them in backwards or if he just put some in. I think he put them in backwards.
So basically the last shot we're left of in... and Tam ends up leaving the station with the First Order, Agent Tyranny and Commander, yes. Pyre. And you get this really touching moment where Kazuto and Giger are reaching out for her and she makes her decision and goes with the First Order. And then, you know, the Colossus jumps away and you get this last shot of Kazuto talking to Niku and he says, well, where are we? And Niku pretty much goes, well, we could be extremely close to Dakar or we could be really anywhere else.
Yeah, and the way it ends is Niku being like, ooh, we're going on an adventure.
Yeah.
Yay!
Well, and that's actually one of his first, like, pretty much that same sentiment is one of his first lines in the first episode of season two. So... you know, it starts off in that same hangar, you know, and that's one of the things that they talked about. You know, this was because it was asked, like, is this going to continue through The Last Jedi? Is it going to be a time jump? And he says, no, it continues exactly where it left off.
That's good, which is good.
So, you know, you're in that same hangar. You've got Niku talking to Kazuto and he goes, okay, well, let's find out where they are. They end up being about 3 parsecs away from Dakar, which is relatively close.
Yeah, definitely. When you're just randomly putting in
right.
Hyperspace coordinates.
So the bad news is that pretty much every single system is offline because the station got bombarded by a First Order Star Destroyer prior to their escape.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got, you know, there are no shields, the communications are all down, you don't even have sublight engines. They actually mentioned that the hyperdrive is functional, but they are out of coaxium.
Uh-oh.
They do say that by name. So that was a nice little nod to Solo and sort of the whole hyperspace fuel coaxium thing. So basically they send Tora and Niku and Kazuto down to engineering in order to start repairing some of these systems because they're trying to get the artificial gravity back on, which is kind of the main source of comedic element in this episode.
Okay.
Because you've got like the bar scene, there's all these people drinking, but they're drinking in 0 Gs. So you've got people's drinks floating away and you've got people bumping into each other, and you've got NZ running like a zero G special. And then sporadically the gravity turns back on, everyone drops to the floor, and then it goes back and forth. So you have your nice little comedic moment. But they're trying to get communications, and they're trying to get artificial gravity back on. And the episode is kind of like a PG-rated horror movie from this point on, I felt like. Because if you remember back to the end of season two, Kazuda's loner droid from Poe, CB-23, gets in this fight with a First Order ball droid. Ends up breaking part of its lens. And then it looks like it drops it down a ventilation shaft, never to be heard from again. Well, it turns out that droid is still around. And it's down in
Which we... So we have a reoccurring theme of people falling down ventilation shafts and coming back to life, it seems.
I did not even think about that, but yeah. Yeah, it does seem like that. So yeah, so this droid is kind of down in maintenance, and all the shell folk who are the regular maintenance people, they're all stuck in their shells. And basically, Kazuda tells Niku to go over and try and get them to help them, but they're just too scared. They say there's great danger. It turns out this droid is trying to get a message to the Resistance. What it's trying to do is slice into the communication system to send a message to back to Castellan to tell the First Order where they are now to get them to come finish the job. This droid actually ends up picking off... it's actually the first PG decapitation I've ever seen.
Whoa.
Yeah, so CB ends up going down the hallway, and then Niku goes to investigate a little while longer, and you find CB's head floating.
Ooh.
Yeah.
A little dark.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a droid, but it's pretty dark. So Niku goes to try and repair CB, and then he gets trapped by this First Order droid. He gets wrapped up and basically strapped to the wall, because it's got those suction cup grappling hook kind of things.
Yeah.
Eventually, Tora and Kazuda go to investigate. They find the droid. The droid attacks them, which is terrifying because it's got like a little shocker on it, kind of like R2's, but it looks more imposing. And again, they're still in zero G, so it's like grappling hooking around the place, trying to stun them to death, basically. And it ends up cutting into the communication system temporarily, ends up starting to send out a message, and it's not real clear in the video, in the episode. I mean, Captain Doza does say that the message does not get sent, but I don't know, because it seemed like it had communication access for a little while. The speculative part of me wonders if that's how the First Order finds Dakar in The Last Jedi. They're so close, you know?
Huh.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're 3 parsecs away, the ship jumps there, you know they have a Resistance spy on board. It's not hard to connect the dots,
no,
I guess.
No, definitely not. Is anything big happen towards the end of the episode, or...
Yeah, so they end up getting rid of the ball droid, starting to restore things, and we get a couple scenes with Tam in and out.
Oh, okay.
Well, and there's actually a really interesting moment between Agent Pyre and Phasma. It's our reintroduction to the First Order kind of at the beginning of the episode. And basically Phasma communicates with Pyre and she says, you know, I need a status update. And he goes, well, they've escaped. It turns out the Colossus was a ship. And she goes, we can't let General Organa have that station. It's vital.
Ooh.
It's a vital refueling station. And it's too close to the unknown regions. She goes, you either recapture it or you destroy it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Did Tam hear any of this or no?
Yes, Tam is actually standing in the room with Agent Tyranny as well at this time. So they're Ooh. All watching this whole thing. You know, Tyranny then asks Tam, she goes, are you sure about this? And Tam goes on this whole speech about how she always knew there was something better for her. Like, as far as she's concerned, the First Order's just trying to bring order and peace to the galaxy. And the rebels are nothing but terrorists, basically.
What?
She's heard nothing. Yeah, like, she straight up reaffirms it. Like, you can tell that there's a little bit of doubt later on in the episode, but, like, she just straight up is like, yeah, I'm with you guys. And Agent Tyranny even asked her, and I don't remember the exact phrasing, but it's something to the effect of, like, are you dedicated enough to even help us hunt down your friends, knowing what that means? And Tam goes, yes.
What?
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. So it's a straight up betrayal. So one of the things that Kazuda does later in the episode is, you know, he's talking with Tora and he goes, you know, I just feel like if I could contact him, if I could talk to her again, I could explain myself, things would be better. And Tora comes up with this idea of sending her personal comlink a message. So the last scene of the episode, and Tam actually does get a trooper number. I don't remember what it is, but in that scene where, you know, they're asking her if she's on board, she goes, yes. Mander Pyre actually assigns her a trooper number, and she's a First Order pilot. So the final scene is her retiring to her new quarters. She's got the whole First Order TIE fighter jumpsuit on. She's got her hair done in a different way now. She looks like a First Order pilot, and you know, she's looking at this TIE fighter helmet, and then she hears her comlink go off, and you hear the beginning of the message from Kazuto, and he says, Tam, I really need to explain myself. I'm so sorry for everything. And that's as far as the message gets. She cuts the communication off, throws her comlink on the bed, and then you just get a frontal shot of her putting on the TIE fighter helmet.
What?
And that's the last shot of the episode.
Dang it. I'm kind of glad I didn't watch it. Wow, so, that's...
really cool episode. A lot of things happen. Kenzel leaves us in an interesting spot. Yeah, I was super excited. The poster we got from that one was incredible. I think you saw that.
Yeah, super cool. I think you got me one, actually. So
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so that was super helpful. I'm going to hang that up. So I am going to try to hang every single poster I got. So.
Yeah, I think after we move, I am as well.
They're pretty cool. Get them framed. Because they're not too big, either.
Yeah.
Anything else on the Resistance panel? This isn't a Resistance episode, folks. It's just, it was a big panel, so.
There was a lot going on there. Like I said, I think it was the most underrated panel of the whole. And it was empty. Like, I looked at the back. I mean, that arena was not filled up.
I'm surprised they used that big of a room.
I mean, it's their new show. It's their big next big thing, and I feel like they're going to start pushing that a lot.
Which they should. It's a good show. It is a good show. Mm-hmm. The colors in it and the animation is phenomenal. So.
It's unique, and I don't know. I like it especially a lot more now that I've gone to that panel and I have some of that, you know, behind the scenes. You see how well everyone meshes with each other in real life as well as the show.
Which I feel like all the animated shows have really been like that. Mm-hmm. Which is amazing, and I think that definitely comes across in the dialogue and in the story. So.
Mm-hmm. So do you want to talk about Vader Immortal next? I mean, I know I've done a lot of talking, so...
Yeah, I would love to talk about Vader Immortal. So
this is what you were doing while I was...
So I was waiting. So my girlfriend and I, she really wanted to do this new VR thing by Oculus. And they had a big, probably like 8 to 10 booth spaces worth of space taking up this area of the convention floor. It's a new Vader. It's called Vader Immortal, and it's a 3-part series. It's just called Episode 1 as of now. Vader Immortal Episode 1, and it's about an hour of gameplay in total, and we were able to play about 5 minutes of it. Line was super long all weekend, so the Monday, which was, we figured would probably be the smallest crowd day, we went to that first. We headed there, I think we got there 10:15, when the doors open at 10, and line was already capped, so we started our own line on the side. And from that point, I think it took about 2.5 hours.
Yeah, you guys were there for a while. I mean, I was just sitting there on the Resistance panel, and I texted Ashley. And I'm like, are you guys still in line? She's like, yeah, we've got about, like, 30 minutes left.
Yeah, and, you know, and there was some, I want to say there was maybe 6 to 8 booths at a time running, maybe, at any, like, on when they were at full capacity. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's still at 5 minutes apiece. I mean, you're not getting a lot of people through.
Right.
What, 20 an hour and one times? I mean, it sounds like a lot, but when you take into account how many people are there, and, you know, I'm assuming some, because some weren't being run, I am assuming because it was like the Oculus was being charged or something, is my guess. But they were kind of displaying their new Oculus, I think it's called the Rift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
the Rift.
It's completely wireless.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's coming out this spring. So Vader Immortal should be coming around the same time, and that will be available for both, I think, the Rift and the other one that's out. I can't think of the name of it. But we got to play about 5 minutes of it, and it's basically, it is canon.
Okay.
If you are familiar, there's a VR experience located in Disney Springs and Walt Disney World, and also in Anaheim, and I believe somewhere else as well. And that is canon too. I forget what that one's called, but that actually takes place just a few days before this.
Really?
Yes. So it all kind of like ties in together, and it's between episodes 3 and 4, and there's this guy named Karras, and he's pretty badass looking. He's got like a Winter Soldier robot kind of arm with almost a Vader-esque kind of little thing over his face, and it's super cool looking. And he basically tells you, like, hey, Vader's coming in here any minute, and he's going to, like, you're probably not going to make it out. You're not the first one, and you probably won't be the last. So Vader's looking.
Terrifying.
It is. And Vader's looking for something. They don't tell you what. But Vader comes in, and the door opens, and you're in full VR gear, and I'm looking down at my hands, and I'm looking around the room, and they have, I don't even know what to call it, wherever you tie down, like how Poe was tied down and Rey was tied down in Force Awakens, one of those.
Okay,
like,
one of the interrogation chairs.
Yeah, so that's there, and it's super intimidating, and it's dark in there, and the dude's getting all up in your face. He's like, Vader will be in here any moment. So the door's
you're
open.
Screwed.
The door's open, and it's a very Rogue One-esque, like, moment. Like, it's not completely black, but he comes, like, out from the shadows. And he's walking
it's like
to
Bail
you.
Organa.
Exactly, except way more intimidating.
Yeah, because it's Vader.
Exactly, and this VR, it takes into account your height, not
okay.
so much us individually, but because I was asking the gentleman about it afterwards, and he was saying like when you put it on, you do have to calibrate it, like you have to reach down and stuff.
Okay.
So it takes into account your height, but it probably took. I'm pretty average height, so I'm probably about where it would have been, you know, synchronized to. And Vader walks up to you, and he gets right up in your face, pretty much.
Oh, my God.
And I can he's walking towards you real slow, and you hear the footsteps, and I can just feel my head tilting back, like trying to look up at this man. And, you know, part of me is like, I mean, clearly it's a video game, you know, like,
right.
I mean, I know it's not real, but at the same time, you're like, this is kind of terrifying, like, if this were real, because, you know, Vader, I mean, you know, we know it's fictional, and he's
how
a scary
tall was
dude.
He? How tall
dude,
was he?
Dude, my head was tilted back. Like, pretty far.
So 6'5", six, like, 7 foot?
I mean, yeah, definitely up there. I mean, I wouldn't say above 7 foot, but he was up there. I would love to play it as someone who, like, synchronized it as, like, an 8 foot dude.
Yeah.
Like, looking down at Vader or something.
Just Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah. But he's, like, he's all up in your space, and, like, he's pointing at you, and he's, like, open this, and he, like, pulls this, like, it looks like a holocron type thing.
Okay.
And he pulls it, and he's like, take it. So you, like, take it out of this man's hand. And, you know, you have to push the button. So you're actually moving. I mean, your hand is out. I mean, you're holding the controller, but your hand is out like you're holding it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, like, take your other hand and, like, push the button on it. And eventually it opens up and something comes out. And Vader's like, he's the one I've been looking for. And, like, walks away. And you're like, oh, man. And, it kind of cuts to, like, a little training sequence, so you're, like, you grab the lightsaber that's standing there, so you go and reach out for it, and it's cool, and I'm looking at it, and the guy told me how to ignite it, but I was sitting there, like, turning my hand, because, I mean, your hand turns and stuff with it.
Right,
I'm looking at the lightsaber, I'm like, this is so cool, and I finally have that moment where I'm, like, I ignite it, and I'm like, this is so cool. Like,
oh my God.
I'm, like, waving it around, and you can hear it, because you have headphones on this VR, too.
Right.
So, I mean, you're in full... I mean, you're in it.
Full immersion.
You're in it, yeah. And it gives you this little training sequence where you have to deflect blasters from these probe droids and other stuff. And they had these other, like, little robot things with, like, lightsaber kind of type things.
Mm-hmm.
And I only did it once, but you can, like, get close enough and, like, swipe them with the lightsaber.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's super cool. And it's cool because there's a guy in there. He's like, I'm not going to let you run into the wall. If you start getting close, I'm going to, like, guide you back.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw some people jumping around, and he's, like, running with them and around them, like, getting ready to, like, grab him if he has to. But it's cool, because I didn't move around too much, because I kind of knew, like, my surroundings, and I didn't want to run into anything. But the video game itself, if you kind of start getting out of a box, a green grid shows up.
Oh,
showing you,
neat.
Like, yo, like, you're getting out of the, you know, the zone. So that was super, super cool. My only complaint with it, and it's not even a real complaint, is, like, you hold the lightsaber with one hand. I would like to kind of feel like using both.
Yeah.
But you can actually switch it, because I didn't do it, but I saw Ashley, like, she switched the lightsaber, I guess, in her hand.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, how do I get it back? And I saw her, like, moving her hands, and she got it back. Like, I couldn't see what she was seeing, but I knew, like, I heard her talking.
Right.
So yeah, you can, like, move it around and stuff, which is cool. And I, like I said, it was only about 5 minutes, but Vader comes back and ignites his lightsaber, like, to follow him or whatever, and it ends. And it's like, like, I told Ashton, like, we need to buy this. We need to buy an Oculus just for this, because...
I'll pitch in for that, Carbonite Crew Oculus.
Dude, I'm down. I guess it is a little different than the one in, like, Disney and stuff, because that one you actually do run from room, like, room to room. Like, you actually run... Yeah, which I didn't realize it was that in-depth. So this one's more of like a, you know, it's just at your house. So you're more, it's more gameplay than anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just like, we need to get one. I want to go down. And like I said, it's going to be three parts, three episodes. So, I mean, this one's
very
about
cool.
An hour. So, I mean, you're talking 3 hours of like a story that you're immersed in.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how much the games run on the Oculus. I know the Oculus starts at around 400. I don't know what the games run, but that's a cool investment. Like, if you're into Star Wars, just
doing it. If I'm not mistaken, there's an official trailer out for it, isn't there?
Yes, so a trailer...
We'll have to post that up.
Yes, a trailer did come out this past weekend while we were there, because the first day, it actually wasn't... They didn't have it running, because nothing had been revealed. The panel was on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't really saying much about it, but it was so cool. We got a little poster afterwards. I think you grabbed a poster for it, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to frame that little bad boy and put it up, just because it's a cool-looking poster. It's got, like, the... Vader's castle on the front, and because the whole thing takes place on Mustafar,
right?
And you have a droid with you, because I'm assuming you kind of escape from what it looks like from the trailer, like you're trying to escape, and you have a droid with there, kind of with you. Almost, it kind of has an L3 type vibe, which is actually voiced by Maya Rudolph.
Oh, cool!
Actress Maya Rudolph. Yeah, I found that out. So that's super cool, but I'm super excited. Like I said, I'm not a huge gamer, as you know, but
right.
I'm all for this Oculus thing. Like, that's super, super cool.
Yeah, that's really neat. It sounds amazing.
Yeah, I know. Speaking of games, we got a bunch of information about the Jedi Fallen Order game.
Mm-hmm.
That panel was, I believe, Friday. Sunday, I don't remember. Saturday, I don't know. So much happened this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's all kind of a blur.
But they revealed the character for the game. It's coming out, what, November 12th?
Let me see. I have
something.
All the
Maybe that's
right
Disney
here.
Plus I'm thinking of. It comes out in November. I do know that.
November 15th.
November
15th. So just a few days, just 2 days after, 2-3 days after the Disney Plus comes out. November is going to be a very Ooh. Busy time.
Yes, and Resistance will most likely be on as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
okay, what we know so far, and neither of us actually went to this panel. I know I said it was, like, my second highest panel, but
right.
I think that day we were just trying to sleep in. Mm-hmm. So, it's going to be done by Respawn Entertainment, which is famous right now for having Apex Legends, the new flavor of the month sort of battle royale game. It's going to be published by EA, but I guess from everything we've heard, EA has had very little personal involvement in it, which is a good sign. So like you said, it's going to be November 15th. It's actually already available for pre-order on Origin on the PC. You can get the standard edition or the deluxe edition, which has some extra cosmetics and stuff. One thing to note, they've also said that it's going to be solely single player. There will be no multiplayer components in it, and there are not going to be any kind of microtransactions or loot boxes,
which is good news for
Great.
Everyone involved.
It's a big departure from what they've been doing and what everyone expected, but as long as that's true,
I think it's been very clear of what the Star Wars audience wants.
I think so too, and I think everything we've seen is a really good sign. I'm getting all this information off a PC Gamer article, by the way, just for transparency's sake. This isn't my information. I didn't go to the panel. The story is set an indeterminate amount of time between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope. It'll be interesting, I think, to see as we get more stuff in that era, if we can get an actual, like, dating scheme as far as, like, this is when Solo takes place, this is when Fallen Order takes place, this is when Revenge of the Sith was, kind of thing.
Right.
I look forward to that. I'm very much someone that's very fascinated with how different Star Wars events interplay as far as the timeline. So it focuses around this Jedi or Jedi Padawan named Cal Kestis, and he's actually played by Gotham's Cameron Monaghan, which you watch Gotham, so what are your impressions of him?
Well, if Heath Ledger had never existed, Cameron Monaghan would be the best Joker I've seen, in my opinion.
Suffice to say, you're excited about his live action and voice performance.
So to get back to what we're saying, I am so happy to see Cameron Monaghan in this role. And, you know, it's him, and he kind of stated recently, like, the character could appear in a TV show or movie, and it would be easy since it's his face and his voice, you know, in this video game. You can just, I mean, you have the actor. I mean, throw him in, and you know, it's him.
Definitely.
Which is harder to do with, like, cartoons, but with the video mm-hmm. games, boom, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said, needless to say, I'm super excited. He's the one, and no one knew until this weekend.
Yep.
Everything was pretty tight-lipped.
Yep.
So he's talked about it since, and he talked about how he had to keep the secret for over a year.
Yeah, he was actually getting interviewed on the live stage, and I saw some of that.
Yes, about how he had to keep the secret for
about
a year.
Oh, yeah, you were there with me.
Yep, we caught that.
So we know a little bit more about Cal. We know that he survived the initial onslaught of Order 66, and he starts out the game kind of on the run. I think it says that he's a scrapper. He's just kind of trying to make his way in the universe, simple man. Just kind of trying to suppress his Jedi powers and lay low.
Yeah, just doing his thing. And he comes across some danger, as all Jedi seem to do. And does he know he's Force sensitive?
Yes, he was actually a Jedi Padawan before.
Okay.
Before Order 66, so he's very much like a Caleb Doom, Kanan Jarrus kind of person.
Be cool to find out he escaped the Jedi Temple while Anakin was on his rage.
That would be fascinating. I don't
like. Maybe he wasn't in the room, but he saw stuff going down. Maybe escaped the 501st when they were going through there.
Mm-hmm.
It will be canon.
Yeah, one of the things they say is like they were very interested in this time period. They really wanted to flesh it out some more. And the game director Stig Amundsen, he actually did some work on the God of War series, which if you play any video games, it's a pretty infamous and famous series. And that game was I think he was the director for God of War 3, which was kind of the capstone of the first trilogy of that game. It's a really good game. So I'm excited about that. Having some actual gaming talent in this is just fantastic. They talk a lot about how they've crafted a game with intense yet thoughtful, fun melee combat using a lightsaber and force powers. They did announce one world, which I'm pretty sure is the world we see in the trailer. It's called Baraka.
Uh-huh.
And they say, you know, he's going to meet a fairly wide cast of characters as he runs from the Empire. And they're going to go a lot of places, and they even talked about going to some famous places. I'm curious to see where they would take him. It's confirmed one of his companions is actually was a former Jedi Knight.
Oh.
But we're not sure if that means she left the Order before Order 66 like Ahsoka, or if she got away from Order 66 like Cal did.
And it's cool that we're exploring this because they definitely talk about there's thousands of Jedi when Order 66 takes place. You gotta imagine a decent amount got away, even if it's 100 or 200. That's a lot.
Well, and even one is a threat to Palpatine. In his eyes, it's the whole point of the Inquisitorius and like what we see in the Vader comics.
Which we actually get introduced to new Inquisitors in this gameplay.
Yes, and I believe he's being hunted by the second sister. That,
yes.
I guess, is confirmed.
Which, she looks terrifying.
Yeah. And she is actually accompanied by some terrifying new foes called Purge Troopers.
More Stormtroopers, ladies and gentlemen. New ones that we have never seen.
And it looks like, and again, a lot of this article is kind of speculation, but it looks like these guys are based on an early version of Death Troopers.
That would make sense.
Which is kind of cool. And they are using, I don't know if they're actually called Force Pikes anymore. They used to be in Legends, but they're the same kind of shock sticks that General Grievous's bodyguards use in the Clone Wars and in the prequels. So they're kind of melee focused, which is an interesting take because I guess if you've got a foe who can manipulate projectiles, you do probably want to use melee weapons. But at the same time, you'd have to be a braver man than me to want to go up against a lightsaber with a shock stick.
Right. Yeah, so the game itself looks super cool. Like, I'm gonna definitely play it through you.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll probably watch all the cutscenes and listen to how it went when you finally sit down and play it.
It looks like one of the things they're really trying to emphasize in this game is also traversal and using a lot of that space. I know in the trailer we see him running basically across this tiny little edge on this wall, and he's basically using the force to... It's like force-assisted parkour, basically.
That's cool.
Very interesting thing that someone had asked about his lightsaber, because there's a lightsaber on the poster.
Yes.
The trailer, but then that's amazing. If you guys haven't seen it, check it out. I'll probably be posting the trailer shortly on our social medias, but according to Respawn, it's not just Cal who will be growing throughout the story. Your lightsaber will be evolving in its own right over the course of the game. Although the details on this are sparse, perhaps it'll be something similar to the Force Unleashed games, where you can transfer kyber crystals and customize your own look and powers. So, not really sure what that means, but I'm excited to see what it is.
Yeah, I'm sure we're gonna find out a lot from this game. And I heard just from like everything we kind of got this weekend, gameplay wise, including the VR. It sounds like a lot's going to kind of change. I had heard something where the Vader game, kind of going back to that just for a second, was we're going to see stuff from Vader that actually might kind of change our viewpoint of him.
Yeah.
And like what he's doing. Because like I said, we don't know what he's after in this, but it's called Vader Immortal.
Right.
There's a reason. I don't know what that reason is, but I'm leaning towards like he's trying to figure out.
Maybe he is trying to figure out Darth Plagueis' secret.
Exactly.
Maybe that's the whole thing.
Maybe. I mean, and like if it's big enough to change our viewpoints and thought processes, I mean, it's got to be big. So, and just the fact that that's three episodes alone, that game. I don't know what the time period's going to be, but I definitely do like that we're exploring this period between 3 and 4 with these games. And it's funny because it harkens back to the whole, like, when I was a kid, someone's like, yeah, they're going to release an episode 3.5 type thing. Like,
right.
And, like, everything we've gotten with the Rebels and then these games, it's like, yeah, hour and a half movie is really going to get the job done. Like,
yeah, I mean, I'm really excited. They've got some great talent. Like I said, Chris Avalon, who worked on, he's working on the story for Jedi Fallen Order. He actually worked on Knights of the Old Republic 2. So,
okay.
You've really got some entrenched, like, not only good gaming talent, but also some Star Wars basis there.
Okay.
They did the one other thing they did reveal is it's not a fully open world game, like, you know, you'd see in your Skyrims and your Fallouts, but it's not completely linear either. It's going to feature sections that are explorable, but not fully open world where you can go wherever and do whatever.
Okay.
I think it's a good choice. It really keeps your story kind of focused, but at the same time giving the player some freedom. You know?
Okay.
And it's going to have combat exploration and puzzle solving, they said. So.
Okay, the Vader Immortal game, I know we're kind of going back and forth between the two games, but the same category. On top of the hour-long gameplay, there will be actually like a Jedi Dojo type thing you can do.
Oh, cool.
And, like, I guess I'm assuming practice, you know, tech, like, all that kind of stuff. So, it sounds like we're getting a lot of cool stuff this fall.
Yeah.
Just from these different...
It's going to be a big year for Star Wars. It's going to be a
without a doubt. And we're going to top it off with the icing on the cake. With a little cherry on top.
Mm-hmm.
Cherry is Palpatine.
And so, I think we covered most of our panels. There is something I actually wanted to bring up newsworthy since Celebration. And I don't know if you saw this. But Kathleen Kennedy was talking to MTV News in an interview about Star Wars 9 after the reveal. And someone, I haven't watched the video, I don't know what the whole thing was, but someone asked her about the whole Knights of the Old Republic era.
Oh, I did hear about this, but I didn't read too much about it.
Yeah, let me see if I can find the quote here. They asked, let's see, after talking about the possibility of characters from the new trilogy appearing in future movies, and the relative dearth of women directors in recent and upcoming Star Wars projects, MTV's interviewer asked about Knights of the Old Republic. Kathleen Kennedy answered, "You know, we talk about that all the time. Yes, we are developing something to look at."
Huh, interesting.
"Right now, I have no idea where things might fall, but we have to be careful that there is a cadence to Star Wars that doesn't start to feel like too much. We don't have a crystal ball. We tried a little bit with Solo to see if we could do two movies a year and whether or not there was a real opportunity for that, and we felt like it's not going to work. So we backed off on that a little bit. That doesn't mean that we don't think about lots of different stories, because that's something that's the exciting thing about this universe." So are we talking about a movie, a game? I don't know. It could be anything.
She's very good at confirming and not confirming in the same sentence somehow.
Well, and I think, I know you're not like a Knights of the Old Republic era fan as much as I am. I think actually between the three of us, I'm the only one who's really played the games or knows too much about the era, but they've done a fair amount of little things that are nods to that era. Like, the Hammerhead Cruiser in Rogue One is actually a nod to some of the ship design in the KOTOR games.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
Little things like Malachor showing up in Rebels. That's a huge deal in the Knights of the Old Republic canon. Malachor is actually this planet that this super weapon was used on to completely scourge it. So, and that's why it's called the Scourge of Malachor. That's why you have all those petrified Jedi and Sith there. Like, that's a huge thing lore-wise, and it's really cool to see. Even just, like, little things they're edging in. It's really neat.
Oh, that is super neat. Yeah, it's cool as them seeing. They're already, you know, like you said, pulling stuff from that, the Legends, and, you know, it'd be cool to see what they do with that. So, I won't be as nitpicky probably as you may be on stuff, like, because I'm sure they'll change stuff.
Oh, sure. I mean, and I feel like I've kind of found my sweet spot, especially with them dismantling, because the biggest thing I loved in canon was all the New Jedi Order stuff, all the stuff in that 40-year period that they just killed. They wiped it away. They took all of my favorite things, they threw them out in the street, they poured gasoline on it, and J.J. Abrams lit that match that started the spark that destroyed my childhood. But, you know, and I've kind of made peace with it, you know, and to me, Legends is still Legends. It's still got a special place in my heart, you know, and I think for all Legends fans, it does. But I've kind of found my sweet spot where, like, I like the new stuff, too.
Which is good, because that's all you're going to get from now on anyway. So
I don't know. I'm still holding out hope that maybe they'll bring Timothy Zahn or some of the old Legends writers back and actually maybe write some stuff for Legends. Because it's not like you couldn't have two continuities going on.
You know,
I think if they do that, it'll be a while, because I do not think Disney wants to underscore their own product this early with something that,
definitely,
you know, if fan reception's better for that than theirs, what are they doing, you know?
Well, and I kind of wonder if they're waiting to see how DC does with all these Joker movies and stuff, like, taking place at different times. Because if that does well, then Disney can do it better. We already know that.
Right.
So it's exciting. Like you said, I'm sure we'll get to a spot where we can be comfortable, you know, maybe 10 years down the line with canon stuff, and then maybe start coming out with the other stuff.
And it doesn't have. I don't think it has to be anything big. You don't need the big sweeping like 10-book sagas like we've had in, you know, Legends of Yesteryear. Mm-hmm. You know, like you have with the Legacy series, and you know. I mean, hell, I think the Yuuzhan Vong arc is 16 books long in total. Like, yeah, like it was a good decade. It was the 90s, basically. And that's all they wrote. Like,
yeah, and I think we have, I mean, DC is a good example, like how you have your movies and then the TV shows. And they're both, I guess I can lightly use the word successful for one of those outlets. But like, it's okay. Like, there's no continuity. Like, I mean, there's always hope that they are one universe, but there's no like everyone's okay with it.
Right,
and maybe
right.
You can do that with the Disney Plus, where you have your whole Legends line of TV shows or something.
Well, and I would even love, I mean, and I know I've talked about this moment, I think I even talked about it on Cast, but there's this one really pivotal moment in one of the Legends books, and I remember the first time I was listening to it on ebook, and I want to say, I don't remember the title of the book, but it was the first in the Legacy series, and Jason Solo, he has this kind of esoteric force ability called flow walking, you know?
And I know we talked about that with Kylo.
And you can't really interact with anything, at least you shouldn't. And I think it would be really cool bringing in, I mean, even if you just had a Legends television show or something, you know, where you have moments like that. And eventually, you know, you get all of your franchises well established enough. Maybe you can have things cross over. It doesn't have to be super overt, but it could be something like Jason flow walking back and seeing Kylo instead of him. Because they are basically the same character, essentially.
Yeah.
The son of Leia and Han, who falls to the dark side and becomes this dark side incredible, you know, force user. You know, even just something small like that, you know. Star Wars loves their little teases.
Of course, they always have. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Those were kind of all the panels we went to for the most part. The major, like, official panels.
Yeah, panels, video games. One thing me and Jonathan and I guess you could say Daniel, as you will probably see from the photos, we attended a podcast party Saturday night. That was held at the Arc Bar at the Hyatt McCormick Place, right? Just attached. We literally just walked over the sky. We didn't even go outside. It was hosted by The Gentleman and Coffee with Kenobi. And it was a great event. There was hundreds of people probably there. It was so busy. It was hard to move around for a little while. And we got to meet and talk with a bunch of people, podcasters, people that had no idea what was going on around them. Because they were just trying to get a drink at the bar. They had some Star Wars themed stuff going on. We got to talk with the guys in Coffee with Kenobi, Dan, Corey, and Tom. And they were super nice guys.
Great.
They gave us some nice little tips about podcasting. And we let them know. And they even recognized us when we were leaving for the train a few days later.
Yeah, that was really cool.
So shout out to them. Super awesome guys. We met some other podcasters while we were there. We met people that listen to podcasts that, you know, had never heard of us, so we introduced ourselves, and we met one group. I don't know, were they were part of the 501st, were they? They were part of the Indiana Legion.
I don't
something?
Remember there was something. I have their card in my backpack somewhere.
There was a lot going on that night. We met some people from Indiana. That's where we're from, and so that was cool to
and
meet
that was really
them.
Neat. I think we were actually just leaving and we were handing out the last of our pins and our cards, and someone saw we were from Indiana on the card, and it was a whole table of people.
And that was the thing. we talked to a few people, but when we got ready to leave, that was when all the conversations really started happening.
I know.
There was like two or three like that just like got start up, and it was just fun, you know? Everyone was real chill, and we just had a good time talking. So shout out to any new subscribers if you were there at the party. And are listening to us because of that.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, you can reach out. We'd love to talk to you guys too. Maybe have you on and let's talk Star Wars. That's what we're doing. It's fun.
Well, I mean, I think I repeated almost every podcast, but let us know. If you want us to talk about something, we'll talk about it. You just have to tell us.
Yeah. Was there any vendors that stood out to you? Was there anything like maybe like merch you saw that you were just kind of like cool or...
I bought a couple Chia Pets as gifts mainly, but that was really cool. I got a Jabba the Hutt and a Chewbacca Chia Pet. I actually gave away the Chewbacca, and the person I gave it to was just ecstatic today.
Good. I'm glad they liked it.
So that was really cool. I mean, there was just, like you said, so much cool stuff.
And if it has Star Wars on it...
It's there.
It's at this convention. I mean,
oh, yeah.
There were some booths that, like... I really didn't look at just because there was so much stuff, like, personally, like, it was a little overwhelming just to look at because I'm like, I don't know what to look at because I don't know what I'm looking for, but, like...
I know, right?
And there was some that had just, you know, just pops or just Hasbro figures or, you know, just
And there
helmets.
Were some that had thousands of dollars worth of original set pieces.
Yeah, there was one that had one of the original side paneling from the Death Star set.
Which you were just tapping.
Had no
$1,000 piece.
It was
$5,000.
$5,000. I had no idea what it was, and I was like, I just thought it was like a piece of something. And I finally read it, and no one said anything to me.
Nope.
And I was like, oh, oops, my fault. But there was beautiful artwork. There was one artist there. I didn't get his name. I can't remember his name, but a beautiful canvas painting, like the original painting, framed, like probably what 7-8 feet tall.
Oh, yeah.
It was $35,000.
thousand, not hundreds.
35,000, and wow! If yeah. I could drop that money, I would probably be holding my own Star Wars celebration if I had that much money to drop.
I think the biggest things that stuck out to me, I talked in the last episode about that print I got.
Yep,
that was amazing. It wasn't necessarily anything I guess I did purchase it. The new Master and Apprentice book by Claudia Gray.
That was
that was an early release. Yes. I got one of those. I haven't started reading it. Like I said, I haven't even unpacked yet, really. But probably in the next few days, I'm excited to get a jump on that. I brought a copy of Heir to the Empire, which is one of my favorite Legends books. It's the first Star Wars Expanded Universe book. Written by Timothy Zahn. It was your first Legends introduction to Thrawn and just how iconic of a character he became. I actually brought one of those from home to get signed by him because he was doing signings every day. And we were standing in line and they actually had the 20th anniversary copy. So my girlfriend graciously offered to buy that for me. So I got both of those signed as well as two copies of the new Thrawn book by him. So I was just ecstatic about that.
And you got your picture with him?
I did. I got a couple pictures with him, and that was just great. And it was nice because it wasn't like other autographs or photo ops where you had to pay for that. The only thing you required was that you had to have bought one of his books at the convention.
Just a book, wasn't it?
I was reading it when I was standing in line, and I think it is that author's book.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
But yeah, so I mean, it was free. Other than that, I mean, those lines were insane. We got in line 15 minutes before the autographs actually started, and we were probably 20 feet away throughout a snaking line. And by the time we got up to him, he was telling his staff to cut off the line. So
yeah, that's crazy. And he did a lot of days too.
He did every day.
The fact that it was that busy was crazy.
Yeah,
but
So those and my tattoo are probably my best purchases and what I was most excited about.
Good. It seems like we both had a really good celebration. If you have not heard yet, they did announce celebration for next year in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
It will once again be located in Anaheim, California.
Right.
No date yet, but...
Probably April, May.
Probably April. The hotels are booked up for April right now already.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. That's not a joke. That is spring break time in Anaheim too, apparently. Mm-hmm. So I guess that was a big slap kind of in the face last time. I guess there's hotels that are close, but I don't think it's anything like Chicago where.
No, I don't
right
think
there.
So either.
Well,
it was like who was talking in a panel? There was someone from California, and they were talking about how everything's so much more spread out there.
I don't know where that's from, but we had to have been in the same place because I've heard that. So I don't know who's saying that. It's gonna bother me now. But
was it Taylor Gray? I feel like it might have been on the Rebels thing.
I don't know. I don't think so. I could be wrong. But yeah, so that's in Anaheim next year. It'll be the 40th anniversary of Empire Strikes Back. A lot of rumors surrounding it, why there's one next year, because typically every other year.
Right.
And there's rumors that Disney's taking over from Reed Pop.
Nothing confirmed yet.
There's reason. I mean, there's rumors that it's just because of Empire, which, I mean, it seems like it could be a light year next year, but at the same time, we never talked about the Game of Thrones director's movies.
We never talked about Rian Johnson's trilogy.
Any other movies?
Well, and if you
out?
Think about it, by that time we'll have gone through a season of The Mandalorian, another season of Resistance. Mm-hmm. We'll have finished the Clone Wars. We'll have 9 all wrapped up.
Yep. So it will be a good time to definitely dive into the future of Star Wars.
That'll definitely be an announcement.
And
here.
I can see that being Disney's big thing. You know, we're taking mm-hmm. over Celebration. It's time to go into the future. We're starting new. 9 is over. Blah blah blah. Like,
yeah. Let the past die.
Exactly. And Disney won't think twice on that. So,
nope.
But yeah, nope. I don't know.
What do you think?
I probably won't be attending.
Me either. Unfortunately,
I would love to, but one is it's only a year away. I don't. There's just so much going on. I don't think I'm going to be able to save that just in a year.
Yeah.
And Disneyland's there, so I'm not going to be able to not go to Disneyland if I'm there, because we've never been yet. So.
But you want to commit to Celebration fully, too, if you're going to go to Celebration.
Well, it's funny, because I told Ashley, I said, like, if they did it in Chicago again, let's say next year or in the future, and it was 5 days again, I would probably take a day off.
Probably.
I would probably take that Saturday off.
Go like, Saturday? Yeah.
I would probably take Saturday or even maybe Friday and Saturday off. Because, mm-hmm. I mean... 5 days. It was four and a half, really. And
yeah,
I mean,
and we're only 3 hours away by train or by the automobile. I mean,
I could definitely see taking, you know, the busy days off. I could get everything I needed done or see in like 2.5 days.
Mm-hmm.
There might be some panels I missed, but I would look at all that.
Right.
I would even consider buying the 5 day pass just to have it if I needed it, and then just being like, I'm gonna not go today, or maybe I'm gonna go for an hour or two. Like,
right?
Because I mean. Coming back from Monday, or you know, we came back Monday, you know, and even
that was a long day,
and it was, and even yesterday, you know, I had the day off, I slept a lot, just
did
recovering
you?
Like today I was like, oh cool, like let's go back.
That must have been nice.
it was.
I worked both days.
Oh, you did? Oh, that sucks. Yeah, but having that day off, you know, like today I'm like, let's go back, like I rested for a day, I was like, yeah, I'm ready again,
ready for more Star Wars.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, and I'm kind of in the same boat. I'd love to go again, especially if it were as close. I think I'm actually tentatively looking at saving some money to go out to Anaheim for BlizzCon next November.
Okay.
So, and those of you that don't know, it's Blizzard Entertainment's big con they do for all their products. World of Warcraft, Overwatch, Diablo, StarCraft. And they have that every November. So,
is it this year you're saving or for next year?
For next year.
Okay.
Because next year will be a big announcement year for those franchises as well. So.
Yeah.
And I've got some buddies we've talked about. I know a few people from my games out there, and it would be just a really cool thing to go and do. Kind of like Star Wars Celebration, but for games.
That would be, that is cool. Yeah, I've actually heard of that, so.
Yeah.
And
I mean, that's just as expensive. I think I saw tickets were even more expensive, and it's like a weekend thing. It's like $400, $350 for a ticket.
Well, and that's what kind of worries me, that if Disney takes over, like, mm-hmm. are tickets gonna skyrocket? Like,
and then you've got things like 5 day passes plus Disney parks passes.
Yeah, and maybe they will do stuff, you know, they do their Galaxy's Edge, or I mean their Galaxy Galactic Nights, where it's like just basically Star Wars themed everywhere, like in one of the parks, and you know, maybe they do packages like that where they do a Galactic Nights, but it's only for people who bought Celebration tickets or like package tickets. Which, and that's a thing. Like if I go, I want to do that. Like, of course I want to do that. And
sure,
and I still got to do Disneyland with them when it's not like that though too. So I mean, you're talking. And they could do all kinds of stuff. And that's another rumor why it might be in Anaheim, is because if Disney's taking over, I mean, they're based out of Anaheim. That's where they do D23 every other year. So, I mean, that's a thing, too. And that's another rumor why it's next year, is because if they are taking over, they can do every other year after next year, and now they have D23 and Celebration, respectively, every other year. Not on the same year. So, which makes sense. I'm hoping if they do take over, they find a city and keep it there, such as Chicago. Like, let's not do everything in Anaheim.
Yeah.
You know, like, Chicago, like, there was so many people there this year because it was such a central location. But I liked that. And a lot of people liked that, even people that came from the West Coast and East Coast. They're like, it was nice. Like, I didn't have to worry about having to travel across the country. I could come halfway and get there.
Mm-hmm.
So...
yeah, and that was really nice.
So we'll find all that out in due time. I don't know the deal. I guess supposedly Reed Pop's been saying it's their last year for a while now. So for the last few celebrations, so we'll find out what happens. But we probably won't be there. We'll be there in spirit. Unless we
maybe the year after, we'll see.
Yeah, depending on what they do.
If they're going to make this an annual thing, I mean,
I would
it's
be
easier to plan for that.
Yeah,
because if we know it's going to be every year, you know, we can do every other celebration.
Yeah, true.
Maybe 2 years out, Daniel will be able to come with us too. You know,
yeah,
finally, that would be really cool.
Finally making well, he was with us this year.
He was.
So,
and I don't think we talked about that beyond our live reactions for 9, but we actually brought along a cardboard cutout of Daniel.
Oh, unbeknownst to Jonathan and myself.
Yeah, our girlfriends actually planned this. And
yeah,
kinda...
Ashley got a picture of him, blew it up, and we didn't even know till we were there, like on Friday night or Saturday night. I think it was Friday night, and boom. It's a cardboard cutout of Daniel. It was so funny. He was a great marketing tool for the podcast because we put the pin the buttons on him and everyone was asking about him. And Daniel, you got a lot of attention.
You sure did. Probably more than you would have if you were in person.
Well, everyone kept thinking he was me.
Well, everyone thought he was a Star Wars cutout that we were bringing along initially, and then they come up and look at him, and then they're like, "Why do you have a cutout of your friend who's standing right there?" And
it's like, that's not me. It's our other friend.
Well, you guys like relatively similar.
Apparently.
Apparently.
So, but it was fun. We had a great weekend. Ready to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
So, but
it's exciting.
I think that's all I got off the top of my head. I'm sure we'll reference Celebration.
Oh yeah, we're going to be talking about it throughout the year, I'm sure.
Oh, just a lot came out of it, and it's cool thinking.
And I'm sure there's so much that we saw and experienced and didn't even talk about. I'm sure the next few weeks we'll just be unpacking things we remember.
Oh, yeah, we got so much free swag, and there's pictures we're going to post to the Carbonite crew and our personal profiles that you guys can check out, and it's super cool. So, yeah, so I do want to shout out. It's probably no big deal to a lot of people, but to us it's super cool. We posted just a little promo for our episode 9 reactions, and Daniel Logan liked the post, who plays Boba Fett. And,
Thank you.
Yes, so my goddamn dad, I don't know if he listens, but it's going to be epic.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing. Let us know if you do listen. We would love to have you
and just talk to you. So,
yeah.
He's an awesome guy. He loves Star Wars, and he loves the fandom, so because he is a fan. So.
Exactly.
But yeah, that's all I've got. I don't know if you've got anything else.
I think that's about it for me. Celebration was a blast. It was totally worth every single way too much pennies I spent on it.
But it was worth it. It was priceless. I think our next episode will probably be the episode 9 trailer.
Yeah, we've got to talk breakdown about that at full strength.
So with all three of us, and now we've had some time to marinate on it. It's been my word with this trailer, is marinate.
It's just marinating.
There's just so much to soak in with it. So, until that episode, until next time, may the force be with you guys.
Always.